Oh, I love the power of God, don't you? Thank God for God. Pastor said it earlier about the presence of God in your home. You know, we come to church and we expect the presence of God and we stir up the presence of God, but sometimes we neglect our home. And we really don't expect the presence of God there, and we certainly don't expect the presence of God in our children. But let me tell you what happened years ago. I believe the scripture that says, teach your children. It says, teach your children, train your children, and discipline your children. Those three things are said in the scripture. We took those commands very seriously when our children were little, and we had family devotions. Now, nobody speaks of family devotions anymore, but there's power in the Word of Heaven. Amen. When I first started teaching, somebody said you have to pray in the Spirit an hour before you teach. That worked for them, and so I thought, well, they had a real fine reputation, and so I thought, I'll do that, and I just about came to collapse. I thought, wow, by the time I prayed an hour, I was no good for teaching. I'm just telling you, it was over. Well, I found out that didn't work for me. I had to find out what worked for me. And I can sit and read the Word. See, the Word is quick and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. It has power. We don't use the word quick anymore, but if you cut your fingernail, you cut it down below the quick. It's the only way I know that you'd recognize that word. It means you realize there's living tissue there. One lady told me, she's a new Christian, she says, you're not going to believe this. And I said, well, I might. I am a believer. She said, but when she opened her Bible, the words stood up like they had dimensions. Well, I don't have any problem with that, because I know God was trying to demonstrate to her that the word is alive. This is not a book. It's thus saith the Lord. And if I faced Almighty God today and I said, God, I don't know what to do about my finances. He said, Becky, if you'd give, it'd be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken again, and run over. Because God's not a man that he should lie, and he doesn't have a change. He said the same thing today he said yesterday when he talked about your home. He talked about your goal as a husband and wife and your goal with your children. He said you should have heaven upon earth. A touch of heaven on earth. And I love that. I especially like it when it happens. Well, we were training our children. We were having family devotions at the dinner table after supper, which we did for a good number of years. Don't leave the training of your children to the church. I believe in what the church is doing. I believe it with every fiber of my being. When we were overseas the first 2 years, I came home and wept because there was nothing being done with the children. I even consulted people around who had children's ministry and said, what can we do? What can we do? I was just about overwhelmed because the children were running cars up and down the aisles and throwing paper airplanes. And when they took them out after the praise service, I asked someone in authority what happened to the children, how many they were, what kind of lessons they had, and nobody seemed to know anything. And I knew just by their response it wasn't anything to know. And my heart was broken. And I came home and I said, what do we do? What do we do? Well, as time passed and we pressed in prayer, see, God believes in the ministry of children. He believes in heaven in your home. Heaven in your home affects your wife. It affects the husband. It affects the children. It affects everybody. In passage of time, I was sitting in my seat, and an usher came to me, several years later, and said, there's a lady in the back wants to see you. And I went back, and she was from the country we had visited. And she just wanted to say hello. She remembered me from having been there several times. And I said, hello. And she said that she just accepted the responsible post there of children's minister. I was leaping up and down. I said, thank you. See the power of heaven, Almighty God. Said, here's what you can do. I'll bring her to you. And so I ushered her over to the Kids Dome building where they happened to be laying hands on the children. And so when they finished with the children, I called the lady in charge, and she laid hands on her, ministered her at length. And then, as God would have it, see, God believes in families. He believes in heaven. If you don't have heaven, God wants you to have it. And here's the secret of the power of heaven and the Word of living God. He'll tell you how to get it. You don't have to stumble around the dark and wonder, where is it? Where is it? You know, I told you, we lost Wayne's car keys. 3 weeks later, we're still hunting them. Don't have a clue. Went to the car place to make a new keys, over $100. I went like, wow. So we're still sharing a key. I'd have to think about it. I don't know if I want another $100 car key or not. Let me think a minute. See, God knows what you need. He knows what your children need. He knows how to bring heaven to your home. And by the power of His Spirit and the Word of the living God, He's going to get it to you. But you have to desire it. Well, in months later, we got a call from overseas. And the pastor's going to be in town, and could he stay at our house? It's custom in their country. That's what they would do if you were there. They would be insulted if you went to a hotel. And so that he's doing what his custom, what his culture dictated. And so we had him at our house, he and his precious wife. Well, I called the church and I said, can I show him around? So I took him to the kids zone. And they said, show him anything you want to. So I opened all the file drawers. I said, look at all these lessons. Look at all these craft projects. Look at all these videos. I opened every drawer. Look at all this. Look at all this. See, because God wants to make a difference. And if you approach God and say, God, I want to make a difference in my house. I want to make a difference in my family. See, you only have 18 to 20 years with those children. And they're supposed to be years of heaven, years of growth, Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. That's spirit, soul, and body. Wisdom, that's mental. Stature, that's physical. And in favor with God, that's in the spirit. And God wants all three dimensions of our life to grow and to progress. And it has to be done His way. Well, I don't always know what His way is. I can read. But sometimes I can't interpret what I read and apply it to our lives. Well, because the scripture is very strong on teaching your children, not just the church teaching. And I said all that to let you know, I believe in the church teaching. I've tried to do my part over the years, though I'm not a children's teacher. I subbed in Kids Zone for a while. And a pastor in Austria wanted to know, could he have a puppet stage for his children? And I said, certainly you can. And I said, Dwayne, how are we going to do that? But we got it there. Wasn't very long. See, God knows. God knows, I'm telling you. Almighty God knows. It wasn't long before a lady said, I'm going to Germany. She's just chatting with me. And I said, how close are you going to be to Austria? She says, just 4 or 5 miles down the road over the border. I said, have you ever carried a puppet stage? They come in a long, skinny box about this long. And you have to have special dispensation from the airlines. She said, well, I'll do it. I'll do it. And she carried it right to that pastor's door. Almighty God! See, He knows what you need to do, lady. He knows where you need to change. He knows what would suit your husband. He knows what would fit in with His plan. He knows how to improve you and how to improve him and how to improve them. And if you listen, if you bow your knee, then God's will, God's plan, you'll see. It comes through prayer. It comes through prayer. Where we were having our family devotions that night, as was our custom for many, many years. And as children get older, you have to change the custom. See, Almighty God knows how to put life into your children, how to put the word into your children. He knows what you should do. Well, for years, we were at the dinner table after supper, and we would do that. And then when our children got older and got restless, we put them in charge. And the figures that you see me draw, they have seen all their life. Because I believed I'm responsible. And if my children become 20 and they don't know spirit, soul, and body, I think I've missed God. And they don't know how to walk by faith, and they don't know Jesus is their healer. I am responsible. Wayne and Becky Cumbie are responsible for the education of their children. And we're not responsible. It's not so important that they play Little League. I believe in Little League. Whatever you like that they participate in. Sometimes we get so hot to trot, we get so bothered, we get so gung-ho about physical things that we forget the most important things, and those are things of the Spirit. Those are the things of the Spirit. Well, that particular night, I think one of the children was in charge. We put them in charge, and they would draw, and they would, oh, we did all kinds of silly things. And just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I mean, you know, you got 20 years, so you don't have to go too long. When the glory of the Lord fell, I'm talking about God came into our dining room. We have an antique pine table, still have it, with 2 benches and 4 chairs. If I didn't like it so well, I'd get me a round table. Every now and then I think, you should really be round. Well, I can't bear to get rid of it. I just love that table. Well, the glory fell, and the children froze. Never will forget it. Froze in their place. See, Almighty God said, train up a child in the way he should go. He didn't say, pastor, train the children. That's your job, Mom. That's your job, Dad. And the scripture gives equal billing. In fact, it places more stress on the father than it does on the man. If you go to the book of Proverbs, more is said about the father teaching the children than about the woman teaching the children. And in that culture, the women had the children until they were weaned, which was about 3. And then the boys always went with the father, and the mother kept the girls at home by her side. That's why when the little boy died, he was in the field with his father, you remember, and he said, my head, my head. And the father sent him to the house to his mother. You know what he was doing in the field? The father was in charge of training, and he was in the process of training that little boy. That was the father's job. That was his responsibility. And we were watching TV the other night, and this program came on. Never have seen it before. It's a reality show where they bring in, they take a family that's got problems with their children. Have you seen that program? And they bring in an expert, and she gives advice, and she stays with them, watches things for several days, you know, tells them what to do and what not to do. I was amazed because one thing she said, particularly to the father, is, "Sir, you don't know your children." And she helped that father, and he did cooperate. And it was a wonderful thing. You know, I want some of these programs to have follow-up. I want to know next year, is he still playing cars and dolls? That's what I want to know. Well, the glory fell that night. Oh, thank God for the glory. Thank God for his power. Thank God for change. Thank God for parental responsibility and Holy Ghost leadership. Wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I don't have a clue to do what most of the time. Here's the deal. We've misunderstood our goals with children. Most goal is to get the kid in and out of high school, get him where he can get his driver's license so he can drive himself, or get him in and out of college and establish a career. And yet God said, Genesis chapter 3, that a boy is going to leave his father and mother and cleave unto a wife. And your goal for that little boy is to see to it that he's independent of you, dependent on Almighty God, and has the capacity, the capability to cleave unto a wife, to lead her. That's your goal. Can your son lead a woman? Can he supervise? Can he lovingly build a home and be out front? That's his job. That's what you're supposed to be preparing him for. How do we do that? I don't have a clue how you're going to do that. But I know who knows. Oh, thank God, I know who knows. We're sitting at the dinner table and the glory of the Lord fell. And after a while, we sat there for a long time. I don't know who was next to me. One of the children tapped me on the shoulder and says, Mom, can I leave now? And I said, yes. And they got down on their knees, so help me, and crawled across the dining room into the kitchen. Because God was there. God was there. And if he never came again to my house, that's more than enough. More than enough. Now here's the scripture, verse 19. Talks about laying up the words in your heart, verse 18, chapter 11, Deuteronomy. There are some things you must do. Put some things in your heart, in your soul. Then it says, teach them your children, speaking of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That pretty well covers everything, doesn't it? What does it say? Speak to your children. Teach them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Is that pretty well covered? That's your part. You know, and I'm not intimidated. There's a lot I don't know. I just say, you know, Mama doesn't know, but we'll look it up. We'll find out. See, children need to learn to walk by faith. They need to know what you know and what you're learning, you're passing as you walk with them. As you get up, it says, when you get up in the morning, there's those little kids, and you speak to them about Jesus. And when you lie down at night, there they are, and you speak to them about Jesus. And when you walk with them down the way, taking them to school, and you pick them up, you speak to them about God. Because God is more important than Little League. We'd break our neck for Little League and wouldn't open our Bible once a week and read a verse to a child. Shame on us. Oh, I think it's a shame. It breaks my heart. You know one thing? I may not do everything right. In fact, Wayne and I made several mistakes. I'll tell you about one. If I don't forget it, hopefully I'll forget it. No, I don't mind. We made several mistakes, but when I get to heaven, I want God to be able to say, "My, you tried." Wouldn't that be sad? God said, "Poorest effort ever saw in my life. What were you doing?" I want him to say, "My, you tried." I stood Joel in the corner a lot. Somebody that knows him knows how obedient he was. Said, "Was that necessary?" And you know it wasn't. I overdid it. Was so determined. We have right wingers and left wingers. The right wingers punish for everything. The left wingers don't ever punish for anything. And somewhere in the middle is the ground. And husband and wife, see, God's going to work and seal your marriage so that you can work together in the life of these children. I know that. Well, somebody said, was that necessary? And I said, no, it wasn't. One day I stood him in the corner and I heard these words in the Spirit. Heard him. Said, when you stand him in the corner next time, stand him with his nose out so he can see the example that you're setting for him. And I knew it overdone it. Well, then you repent. Now, the Scripture says that your yea be yea and your nay be nay. That means I consider before I speak to my children. I'm thinking about it because once I'm committed, unless I find out I'm wrong, I can't be begged into contrition. See, if your children can beg you and change your mind, you need to shape up. So I'm thinking about it. Well, a fella came over with his son. I appreciate that. And he said, I want to talk to you alone. And I said, fine. And we stood on the porch and he said, we're going to take the boys. He had several boys to the beach and they want Joel to go. Well, I didn't know this man and he looked like a drinker to me. So I asked him, I said, sir, will you be taking any alcohol? And he said, well, yes. And I said, I'm real sorry, but Joel can't go. See, parents have to take a stand. Now, don't be begged into contrition. No is no. Yes is yes. You know, you say you can't go to Mark's right now because we're going to eat supper in about 30 minutes. Oh, please, Mom, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. And after a while, they beg and plead. And you say, okay, just make sure you're back in 30 minutes. And what you do, see, you are God's representative on earth. And first of all, they learn from you about God that he might can be talked out of a good idea as well. So we're going to, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. We're going to ask God what to do. Because my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. God is full of such wonderful ideas. Such wonderful, wonderful ideas. Now, parents are absolutely shattered because the Scripture says, beat your children. It uses the word, beat your children. Do you know that Scripture? I'm going to help you retrieve the word, beat. You cannot beat your children according to what you're thinking. Words change over time. For instance, when I was little, you could have said, I could go into a party and say, how the party? So we were so lighthearted and gay. Nobody thought anything about that. Wouldn't have given it another thought. If I say that today, people go, Now let me rescue beat for you. Let me read you the Scripture. Because you're not going to only teach your children. Proverbs 23:13. You're going to correct them. You're going to take a stand. You're going to let yes be yes and no be no. You're not going to be tormented and tortured until you change your words. Harassed. Withhold not correction from the child. Now that's the word of the Lord. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it to you. This is for our left wingers who cannot punish your children. You know, if I go to school and I ask a school teacher, which of these children don't have the proper home structure, she can point me in the right direction. She'll know. And probably these kids' zone workers know as well. That's right. I expect there's one or two in there that don't have the right structure. It says, if you withhold correction from the child, if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Oh, listen, you go to the kitchen, you beat an egg. Don't you? You beat that egg and you put it in the flour. You're going to make a cake. And what you're doing is incorporating that egg into this cake so that you have something delectable, something delicious, something that's going to cause you to grow up or out. Depends. And that's all punishment. I like the translations that say, drop the word beat and say firm correction. Because they've helped our minds. That's all punishment's going to do. Now, they beat gold out. When they take gold, they beat it. And they beat it flat to enlarge it and to cut jewelry out of it. And when they do, it's beautiful. And when you correct your children, you're not only going to cause them to grow up, but you're going to make them beautiful. See, that young man is going to be a father. That young lady is going to be a mother. They're going to be husband and wife. If you stick your head out the door and say, you get in here this minute. And then you wonder why your children say that? I'll tell you. Because the apple doesn't fall too far from the foot of the tree. They said it because you said it. If you holler, they're going to holler. I have teased this man right over here. He's a good, as you know, he takes things well. His mother's still alive. She's 85, right? And Wayne always likes his apples peeled. And I said, I bet your mother always peeled your apple. No, she didn't. He swore she didn't. No, she didn't. So we're down there. And one day, your mothers feel led to feed you. They have to feed you. You have to eat something. You know. So she's going to feed him. She says, well, I've got apples. Let me peel it for you. Now, that's not going to hurt you. But some things are going to do damage to your children. And you've got to teach them. And you've got to correct them. And if you're wrong, just say so. Say, I'm sorry, mother was wrong. I'm sorry, daddy was wrong. And it's a mother and a daddy thing. It's not the responsibility of the mother. Don't give me that go ask your mother routine. Because I'm going to point you all over Proverbs to where Solomon said, my son, despise not thou the correction. My son, Solomon, that's man to man. So it's a husband and wife together correcting children. Now when you walk on weeds, you beat down a path. That's the technical terminology. You beat down a path. In other words, everywhere you step, the weeds lie down. And when you beat your children, so to speak, you're laying down a path over which Almighty God can walk. And when they husk corn, they take the husk, they take the corn out of the husk. That's the process that's called beating. They beat the corn. In other words, they take the husk off. And this, what's edible, is left. Well, they're taking off the impurities and those things you can't digest. And that's what you do when you correct your children, when you give them firm correction. I don't care if you sit them in a chair, you stand them in the corner. You cannot beat them in the method that you bruise them or damage their body. It's illegal, immoral, and unconscionable. Cannot do it. But there is firm correction as you're led by Almighty God. Now, correction is not when you spilt the milk. Correction is when I told you not to go to Mark's and you went. You need to get it right. So we can beat a path. We can beat out jewelry. We can beat an egg. Does that help you with the word beat? Words lose their meaning. I said one day in the office, boy, that's peachy. My daughter works with us and she said, peachy? What is that? Well, if something's peachy, it was okay. Now the kids said several, maybe a decade back, I lose track now of all the new words. They said, oh, bad, that's bad. Well, when did bad become so good? It's a good thing to be really bad. Do you understand that? And it's okay if you beat your children. It means you give them firm correction. You enlarge their vision. You beat down a path where God can walk, where Almighty God, where the Word of God that you're laying down for them is going to be incorporated into their spirit and guide their life. It says, train up a child. You're going to teach them, correct them, and train them. Now listen, if you didn't train your children, that verse won't work for you. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he's not depart. Here's training. First of all, I do it for you. All you're doing is watching. I made the children's bed, and they watched. Every morning, from the time they were little, if you live at my house, you make your bed. You're not going anywhere to make it, because I'm not going to let you. Said, I don't make my bed. That's between you and your husband. My house, we make the beds. Well, they watched. I did it for them. And then when I thought they were old enough, I did half and they did half. Now listen, do not undo and correct their half. All you do is teach them is you, from the very beginning, their little, first thing they learn is you're very inadequate. You don't have any skills. You can't please me. I don't care how it looks. Leave it alone. Then the day comes, they're going to be on their own. I'll do it for you. That's the way you potty train. They have till they're maybe 18 months or maybe a little less. They have no responsibilities whatsoever. You remember that, don't you? And then you work with them. Whatever method is the hottest method. You know, you sit and read a book. You eat a cookie. We talk. Whatever. We buy the new pull-ups, you know, whatever works for you. And you're working with them. But the day always comes if you've trained your children when they're on their own. See, when I've trained my children, I've taught them the Word of God. See, I should not be able to ask any of your children, have you ever seen your mother pray and them say no? I was at a meeting, went to a prayer meeting, and these two ladies had bought two little boys, and they put them in the front yard. They're supposed to stay in the front yard. And every now and then, they'd open the door and look in. I opened my eyes. That's how come I know. Watch and pray, you know. And they'd look at one another, and they'd go out. Little boys, about this high, 5 and 6 maybe. Well, they did that 3 or 4 times. And finally, I heard this little voice. The door opened again. Instead of standing at the door, they came into the foyer and got a better look, and they said, still praying. See, if I say, you ever see Daddy on his knees? Oh, yeah. Do you ever see Mom on her knees? Yeah. Does Mama read her Bible? Yeah, she does. So our children knew that if they come to us and say, I feel sick, well, we're going to give them medical attention if they need it. I believe in medicine, but we're going to pray. They knew Jesus is the healer. Now let me, in 5 weeks, I've told you what's ideal, and there isn't any ideal anywhere. You know, sometimes husbands are not worth 10 cents. Have you noticed that, ladies? And sometimes ladies aren't much good. You come home, you wonder, what did they do with their time? And sometimes your children, you trade them for the neighbors. So you take these two, I'll take your two. Here's the most important thing we'll say. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's why people get divorced. They start walking by sight. And for over 3 years, I said, Wayne Cumby begins to understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaks in other tongues. I said, Wayne and Becky Cumby from Ephesians grow together in the faith, reaching to the height of the full stature of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Wayne and Becky Cumby grow together in the faith. People would elbow me and say, how are things going? I'd say, Wayne and Becky Cumby grow together in the faith, reaching to the height of the full stature of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the day came in my green plaid antique pine rocker. I laid my hands on Wayne Cumby and he spoke in tongues, but I'd been saying it for 3 years. Now, I called a lady and I said, what you doing? I was just being friendly, had a moment and thought I'd check on her. And she said, oh, I'm trying to out-confess my husband. He was a sinner. He said their son's going to jail, going to end up in prison. The boy is going to end up in prison. She said, no, he's going to be a fine young man, walk with God. She said, I'm just trying to out-confess him. She said, I think I can win. Well, what are you going to do? Stick with the word. Now, because I don't have time, let me give it to you. There's some marvelous scriptures that you should put in your heart, in your mouth about your family, about your children. First of all, find an opportunity to train them. I was at a lady's house late one night. It was time to put the little girl to bed, and I said, well, let me do that for you. She's busy. She had people in, and I said, she said, well, you'll have to read her a page of our book. I said, that's fine. So I went, and the little girl opened the book. They had it marked, and I read that page, and she wanted to read a page, and I read a page, she read a page, and I thought, isn't that something? Now, how much effort could that take, one page? Huh? Oh, you know what? God will help us if we'll... You know, sometimes I say we ride through life side saddle. We are in the saddle, sort of. But we're not in the center of the saddle. I rode an old boy. He used to do some horseback riding. I rode an old boy, and he was well-trained. He was a cattle horse, trained to cut cattle. And he'd do exactly what you told him to. If you wanted to move slow, he'd move slow. If you wanted to move fast, he'd move fast. But you got him where he could see the barn. He's in the sight of the barn. He's headed for the barn. I mean, you might as well hold on, because he's going, whew, headed for the barn. Well, I took Wayne riding with me one day. He didn't care for riding, but he agreed to go because he's a loving husband. And they put him on a horse. Next thing I know, Wayne's back in the stall on the horse. So we let him out, gave him another start, and they must have done that 3 or 4 times. And I said, honey, you got to take control. You're going to have to teach your children. Because the scripture says, God said, I will increase them more and more. I love that. And then he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. Then he said, if you meditate in the scripture, he said, I can bless your children. See, a lot of it depends upon you, what they see you do. And in Deuteronomy 4, it talks about teaching your children. It says, take heed to yourself. First, I'm going to set an example. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to be a Bible reader. I'm going to be soft-spoken. I've always been a person of multiple words, and so I had to learn to speak softly. Cumbies always speak softly. I don't mean one of them, I mean all of them. If you go to a Cumbie reunion and somebody hollers at you, they married into the family. That's the truth. And Wayne speaks softly, and I'm very vocal. So I took that scripture. See, I believe God works through His Word. He works through His Word and by His Spirit. If you'll work the Word, if you'll teach your children, and you correct them, and you'll let your yea be yea, and you'll train them. See, let me do this for you. I remember the day I told Joel to make up his bed. He kept looking out the door to see if I was coming. But I'm not coming. Because I did it for him and I did it with him. And now it's his time. Now, because God is a merciful Father, we believe in being merciless. If you do real well, Monday through Friday, I always made the bed on Saturday myself. And they'd say, I did good, didn't I? That means they don't have to make it on Saturday. And nobody makes the bed on Sunday. That's my rule. You don't have to live by my rules. Find what the Holy Ghost will say to you. What works at your household? Your household's not like mine. Your background. Wayne said the funniest thing the other day. I thought, now that is the truth. He referred to the culture of families. Families have culture. All of them. Cumbie families, they always speak softly. I had to learn to lower my voice because anything you said, it echoed. And I took the scripture, soft answer turns away wrath. And when I got really angry, I'd whisper. Now, I don't think God put that scripture in there to make you legalistic, but I'm doing that to help me. This is Becky Cumbie's self-help program with the Word and the Spirit. And I did it so much, if I said, Joel Cumbie, like that, he went. He froze, because he knew if I whisper, I'm mad. Because I'm going to conform to the Word. Now, you remember Jacob and Esau? Jacob was the second child, had no right to the first child always got the blessings. But he stole the blessing. He and Esau split ways. He went one way. Esau lived another way. And over the years, he decided to make reconciliation, but he didn't know if he would be. You know, you can't phone. He can't go to the phone, call and see if Esau talked to him. So he sends out a party of servants with presents. And then a little while later, sends out another party. He did that for a long time. Send his servants. He was a very wealthy man with lots of presents. And the day came, he said, I'll go first. See, husbands always go first to the leaders. And he lined up his two wives and all of his children. And he said, you come at the rear. And he went first. And he ran into Esau. And instead of Esau being mad, he embraced him. Threw his arms around him. He said, come live, I have plenty. Come live, I have plenty. And he wanted Jacob to come right then, move right along. And the scripture says the most magnificent things. And you listen to me. Jacob said to Esau, he said, the lambs, the sheep are carrying young, and my children are tender. He said, I must not overdrive them. I must lead softly. Are you leading softly? See, on the one hand, you can be too rigid. You can overdrive. That's why the scripture says in the New Testament, fathers provoke not your children to wrath. You can overdo it. A good mother says quietly, don't you think you're overdoing it, honey? So go to your room, Daddy and I want to talk just a minute. On the other hand, if you don't train your children, if you don't teach them, if you don't correct them, they are going to be a disappointment. Let me read you a verse. If I can find it, let me see where it is. Correct thy son, and he'll give you rest. Yea, he will delight your soul. Correct your son, he'll give you rest. Yes, He'll delight your soul. Parents, lead softly. Because God said, I'll increase your children. He said, I'll bless your children. Now in line with the falling of the power of the Spirit. Let me read you this verse. Two verses. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Floods upon dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your seed and my blessings upon your offspring. That's the promise of Almighty God. If you do your part, you teach them. You train them. You correct them. God said, I will. He said, I will pour water on your offspring and my blessing on your seed. Can I read you another one? I just want to make sure we've made the point. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Josh, to sing that? No? Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Sometimes you have to look at those little blessings and say, come here, mighty one. Let me tell you what God will do. If you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, see, put walk by faith, put God's word in your mouth. Don't say, oh, you know, I knew he couldn't do it. I knew he'd make another F. Say, come here, mighty one. Come here, blessed of the Lord. Says, Daniel was taught in all knowledge, all skill in learning. We said that over Joel Cumby over and over. Third grade, they contacted me. They're putting him in remedial math. I just about fainted. I couldn't believe it. Remedial math. I even went to class and watched and observed. I just knew a mistake had been made. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. I mean, he just didn't catch on. Didn't catch on. We took that scripture. It's in Daniel chapter 1. It says, Daniel, see what God did for Daniel, he'll do for Joel Cumby. We took that scripture and we quoted it and we quoted it and we quoted it. And even Joel knew it. I said, what is it, Joel? He says, God gives us skill and knowledge and all learning and wisdom. And you know, God is so big that we had a guest minister, and Joel said, I'm going to go ask him what to do about my math. I said, you go ahead. Don't discourage your children from reaching out to the man of God. I've seen that done. I wish you wouldn't do that. So he asked this man what to do about his math, and he said, son, take that verse in Daniel chapter 1 and quote it every day. He said, oh, Mama and me, we know that one. You know what my son does today? He's an engineer. And people would call the house. He went through, suddenly about 7th or 8th grade, he caught on. We did our part. We tutored. We explained. We prayed. We believed. Almighty God. God of our fathers, eternal. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And suddenly he turned a corner and he got it. He got it. People would call the house. So I want to ask Joel a math question. Is he there? He'd call the house long after he was adult and moved out. I said, no, he doesn't live here anymore. Let me give you the number. My brother has three girls. He said, we cannot help Kimberly. Could Joel come over and help her with her math? And he flew through calculus just like batting. Wasn't anything to it. He said, nothing to it. You know why that is? Because Almighty God gives knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. He increases us more and more. He said, I'll pour blessings upon your children. He said, I'll pour my water. And then there's another marvelous verse, which I'll just quote you, won't read it to you. It talks about the word of God. And he said, you'll give the word to your children, and your children to your children's children. The word of God, the Spirit of God, as you're led, as you're guided, make a difference. And that young man or young woman are going to be a fine husbands and stalwart leaders of their family. Because the scripture says if you trained them, you can't go to the barn and tell the horse to plow and you'll be back at night. Because it's not going to work. But if you teach them, if you instruct them, if you read them the Word, if they see it in your life, and you train them and you correct them and you apologize when you're wrong. God said, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour water upon the dry ground. Sometimes children are drier than dust. You notice that? But Almighty God, God of our fathers eternal, the only wise God, Jesus can fix it. Yeah, 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 Jesus. Do you know that? Can fix it. Now, if you haven't done your part, repent. That's all there is to it. And say, okay, God, kids are 15, 16, 17, now what I do? He knows how to help you. He knows. He'll help you. Jesus can fix it. Start today. Say, God, how can I? Do we need to have family devotions? Some of you do. Do we need to read at bedtime so it'd work for some? Do we need less Little League, more Word? That'd work for some. I don't know what you need to do. But if you lack wisdom, Almighty God not only has the plan, but the power to perform the plan. Once he gives you the plan, he sees you. If you plug into the plan, the power of performance will come to make your household as heaven upon earth. Amen. God bless you.